This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning together with Philip C. But in the meantime, we are turning our attention to our neighbour because Indonesia just celebrated its 76th anniversary of independence, and President Jokowi also announced the government's budget for 2022.
The region's biggest economy is spending USD 189 billion next year, and the economy is projected to grow between about 5 to 5.5% as a result. Now, Indonesia faces a delicate balancing act between pushing an economic recovery that is highly dependent on government stimulus and narrowing the budget gap to keep investor confidence.
Meanwhile, it's still wrestling with the high infection rates and a slow vaccination uptake, despite being among the earliest countries to start administering the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, can Jokowi push ahead with his economic reform agenda amidst a stalled economic recovery? So for some insights into what's ahead for Indonesia, we have on the line with us Crystal Tan, economist at ANZ Bank. Good morning, Crystal. Thanks for joining us today. Now, what does budget 2022 tell us about President Jokowi's priorities in the pandemic recovery?
Hi, good morning. Yes, so Indonesia's 22 budget, it really reflects a desire to strike a balance between supporting the recovery from the pandemic and also signaling Indonesia's commitment to fiscal discipline. So if we look at the headline deficit number, that's 4.85% of GDP. That is at the very top end of the government's initial estimates that were made a few months ago. And you know, given the latest wave of the pandemic there, the recovery has inevitably been dealt a setback. So that's going to pressure the government's finances, both in terms of weakened revenue and also elevated spending demands. So for some context, Indonesia pre-pandemic actually has a fiscal rule whereby the deficit cannot exceed 3% of GDP. But this ceiling was suspended in light of the pandemic for the 2020 to 2022 period. So the compromise in the 22 budget is to avoid a sharp pullback in spending at the time where the recovery is still very fragile. And therefore, as a result, the deficit is going to be kept outsized by past standards. But still, it's going to show consolidation progress from the 5.8% of GDP deficit estimate for 2021. Mm.
And you said to avoid that sharp pullback, right? So which sectors are going to be the key beneficiaries of the budget then?
Right. So there are a few focus areas for the budget, one of which, of course, is to control COVID-19. So drug makers, medical equipment makers, those are potential winners. There's also a push to improve health services. So that's going to be a plus for hospital operators. There's also a push to develop human resources in order to improve productivity, to prepare the workforce for technological disruption. So the education sector is another potential beneficiary. So the government does plan to increase the education budget further in 2022, following a really sizable increase this year. The ICT sector is another one that could be poised to benefit. The government is pushing to build infrastructure to support digital transactions. So, for example, there are plans to add telecommunication towers, to increase satellite capacity, so producers of such products will be the beneficiaries.
But at the same time, Crystal, the overall budget is slightly lower than the previous year in the bid, as you say, to maintain fiscal discipline. So which areas of the economy are going to be hit by these budget cuts?
Right. So in terms of budget sectors, usually the ones that are most closely watched are education, health and infrastructure. So for context, education is about 20% of spending. Health almost 10, and infrastructure almost 15. So as mentioned earlier, and education actually saw higher allocation for 2022, but the health and the infrastructure budgets were cut. So for the health budget, the reduction is actually due to allocations from the National Economic Recovery Budget. So that one's being reduced, not the regular health budget. And this largely reflects expectations that improvements related to COVID-19 next year will reduce the extent of pandemic response required. But yes, there is less money being allocated for infrastructure development. So the emphasis will have to be on spending efficiency and focusing on key projects of strategic importance.
And Crystal, if we shift our attention from spending to basically collections, I mean, the government is targeting to increase its revenue by 6% next year. Is broadening the tax base really the core strategy to do this?
It's going to be broadening the tax base is going to be something that the government will be quite keen to do in order to shore up its revenue generation. Because revenues have taken a big hit during the pandemic. In 2020, revenue sales make 16%. And revenues this year are only expected to increase a little bit from last year's low base. So revenues are going to be still well off, well below, you know, the pre-pandemic levels. So policymakers are looking to boost revenues. There's an ongoing debate now in Parliament on proposals to raise some taxes, such as income and value-added tax. But nothing specific has been formally announced. As we take a closer look at the budget, the target for VAT receipts, that's up about 10%. Similarly, the target from excise receipts also up more than 10%. So there are some signs of tightening on those funds.
And Crystal, the government has a GDP forecast for 5 to 5.5% for this year. And for 2021, they're looking at 3.7 to 4.5%. What are your numbers like?
Right, so for 2021, we see growth at 3.8%. So that's at the lower end of the government's target that you just mentioned. For 2022, we see growth at 5.3%. So that's, you know, within the government's 5 to 5.5 target range. But of course, you know, given the current environment, COVID risk still hanging over us, there is, you know, a fair amount of uncertainty behind this forecast. Our current numbers are premised on the worst of the COVID-19 outbreak being behind us.
Yep. And you know, just looking at Indonesia's vaccination program, I mean, they were the pioneer, but if you look at the numbers, it's only about 11% now that are fully vaccinated. They have fallen behind quite a bit. Where do you see vaccination rates likely to trend, and how much does it have an impact on economic outlook then?
Right. I mean, so with each jab, right, the country would move up a little bit closer to its herd resilience, you know, whether the risk of the healthcare system being overwhelmed by future outbreaks will start to ease. But at the current stage, Indonesia still has a lot of work to do. I mean, as you mentioned, only about 11% of the population that's currently fully vaccinated. So the challenge is the vaccine coverage is still very limited. Like, the social distancing is still going to be a key tool in containing the outbreak, and this in turn clouds the economic outlook, because, you know, there's still that risk of, you know, stop-start cycles and re-tighten restrictions. So any reopening is going to have to be done very gradually. So the key question, of course, is how quickly can Indonesia raise its vaccination coverage to a level whereby, you know, the government would have more confidence in the relaxing measures more quickly, and also the public being more comfortable in resuming their normal day-to-day activities. So if you look at, you know, other economies that are ahead of the vaccination curve, the UK had a broader reopening, around 50% of population fully vaccinated. Singapore's around 2/3. So based on Indonesia's current vaccination pace, it's not going to get there until next year, sometime Q1, Q2. But at the same time, the vaccine supply picture is improving, right? The deliveries are picking up. The vaccination rollout is accelerating. So I think there's a reasonable chance that the economic outlook should improve by Q4 this year.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Crystal Tan, economist at ANZ Bank, giving us her view on the Indonesian economy. And there are some parallels to ours also, in the sense that they will gradually reopen the economy as vaccination rates go up. And hopefully that will spur consumer confidence and spending. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.